Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
And blessings, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, health and nutrition awareness coach, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves mind, body, and spirit. And welcome again to the How Now podcast. We are well on our way into season three. And if this is your first time joining us for the How Now podcast, welcome. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com, click on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also go down to the bottom of the page and click on the banner, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can click, like, share, subscribe, and follow there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification buttons that you know what's happening in the now. And again, that is www.hownowpodcast.com. Okay, so let's get into today's show, where we're just going to be talking about clutter and decluttering and reorganizing. You know, we've gone through a lot. We've made a lot of pivots, you know, as the pandemic has come upon us, and we've been making changes. And some of those changes has meant, you know, reorganizing our lives and reorganizing the spaces that we're in. And so to help me weed through some of that clutter is my lovely guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate you creating this space, you know, sharing with people how to cope. So love that acronym, right? and so thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this is really, really special because I think that what we'll be talking about really coincides with, you know, the direction that you're going. So by way of introduction, my name is Aldrima Harper. I am a declutter coach. I'm also a certified organizational specialist. And I just help women to dream more of having clarity, hope, peace, and sustainability in their life and business. Mm-hmm. And that's what I aim to do. And so, yeah. So again, thank you for having me. And I'm excited about the topic. It's something I love talking about.
Yes. I love that. And I love that, you know, like you said, you are a specialist in, you know, in organization. And that's something that's so key in order for us to be successful. You know, we have to have certain systems and things in place when we're trying to make moves, you know, and I think about my, you know, my own space. I think about some of the changes I've made. I've made some wellness changes along the way over the last couple of years. And I've had to, you know, change my entire wardrobe and reorganize that. And that was a huge undertaking. And so when I think about reorganizing and, you know, you're looking at that space and all of a sudden it's like this wave of overwhelm.
Yes. You know,
what do I do? Where do I start? So before we dive into that, let's talk a little bit about your background and what you were doing in your business prior to the pandemic. And then what happened once the pandemic hit?
So what I was doing prior to the pandemic in my business, I was actually going to do on-site organizing. You know, I would go to their homes or their offices. I would organize their garages, their closets, their kitchens, you know, whatever. So it was more in-person organizing. And then once the pandemic, you know, came up on us, I switched to the virtual decluttering space. And so I found it really to be more in line with who I am. I'm actually an introvert. And so it was really helpful for me to be able to conduct workshops and do decluttering sessions, you know, virtually. And plus, you know, I'm able to reach more people.
Yeah.
On the personal side of it, I just really got acquainted with Amazon.
Okay.
I love having things delivered to my doorstep.
Yes.
So that, was I wasn't doing that before, but then, because you think about it, books and things like that,
Yeah.
but then, I'm acquainted with Walmart. I'm acquainted with all of the stores
Yes.
that will deliver things to
Oh,
my home.
yes.
So that was the big, a big shift for me. And I think for me, I kind of realized, like I said, from being more of an introvert, that I really didn't enjoy going into those public spaces in the first place.
Wow.
And
Right.
so, it just, became a little bit more convenient just to have things delivered. So that was the biggest shift for
Oh
me.
yeah. Okay. Hello. You talk about Amazon, but I am Prime. I'm not patient. I want my stuff
Me too.
yesterday. I was like, I used to be like a meerkat. I'd be sitting there, I'd be looking my head up. I hear a truck. I'm like, is that Amazon? Is that the car? Yeah. People think that the Amazon person lives at my house because the truck is always here. Always here.
Absolutely.
Like I should
Absolutely.
notify. I'm
Oh
like,
my
hey,
gosh.
again. So yes, the convenience of that is something. But I find it interesting, like you said, that being an introvert, and being a little uncomfortable with going into those personal spaces. But once you go in there, you're going in and you're having a chance to kind of see it, in person, and to be able to kind of step back and say, okay, maybe this over here and that over there. Isn't it a little difficult to do that virtually?
Well, the switch, when I switched from in person to virtually, I'm looking at, they're giving me a virtual tour, first of all, right? So they're kind of walking me through the space. So it's not exactly, the same, but it almost as equal,
Okay,
to that,
gotcha.
because they're giving me a tour of their space. And so I asked them, I was like, okay, take me in your closet. Take me in, whatever room we're going to be focusing on. The biggest difference is that I am guiding them through the process as opposed to doing it for them. Because before I would go into their homes, I would be doing it for them. And sometimes they would be there, with me. But I have found that doing the virtual sessions, I find that to be more effective because they're more a part of the process.
Right. That
And
makes
then,
sense.
and when they're more a part of the process, they're more likely to have lasting results
Yeah.
because they're not going to want to do it again.
Right. Right.
So,
Right. But I love that. That makes sense. And then also, when I think about it, I was like, you're seeing it through their eyes.
I'm seeing it through their eyes, which, by the way, is very, very effective. Not only because I'm seeing it through their eyes, they're seeing it through a different lens as well. And when you see your clutter through a different lens, whether you're, because I have them to take pictures and send me pictures as well. And when they see it, it really brings about a whole different type of energy in terms of wanting to get it done. And also sometimes I think that, well, I know that with some clients that I've had, sometimes it brings up a lot of different emotions, uncomfortable emotions. I had one client that she just broke into tears when she actually saw the pictures, right? And she was like, I don't know how this happened, right? So there's all different kinds of emotions that come about as a result of the virtual sessions that didn't really happen in the in-person sessions. So,
Wow, you see, and that's interesting. And do you have clients that go from people who have minimal clutter to people who are like borderline or possibly hoarders?
I for me, I personally don't work with people who are hoarders, and because I feel like that requires another level of assistance, and I'm not qualified to do that. And so, and the same thing happened when I was doing it in person. There were times when, we would get on the phone and, get their information and, set up a consultation. And what would happen is they would say, well, it's not a whole lot. They try to warn me, but then they'll say, well, when you come in, so they just have little clues and little things that I can hear in their voice that may kind of tip me off that it's a possible hoarding situation.
Right.
But I would go, and then, if I knew that I couldn't do anything for them,
Right.
there would be resources that I would recommend, for them
Wonderful.
that would be helpful, for
Yeah.
them. So
Really. And
yeah.
that's powerful, as a coach or as anybody who does that kind of work, part of being a professional is when you say, okay, this is something that this is outside of the scope of what I do, but here is a
Absolutely.
resource for you. It's not just saying, well, sorry, I can't do it. Too bad, so
Right.
sad. No, we don't say that,
Yeah.
but we give them resources and say, okay, hey, this is something that's just a little bit outside of the scope of what it is that we're seeking to do. So
Yeah.
what do you say more your ideal client is?
So my ideal client, because I pivoted a little bit since then to focus more on female entrepreneurs.
Gotcha.
And so when with female entrepreneurs, and I like to work with females because I am a female, and
Right.
I can identify with some of the challenges that we have. We wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
We're mothers, we're aunts, we're wives, we're entrepreneurs, we're ministers. We're doing a
Yes.
lot of things. We have a lot of different, things going on in our lives. And not that, males don't have that, but I
Right.
just find that, I can identify with our challenges,
Right.
more. And so I love working with, female entrepreneurs and helping them to understand the impact that clutter is having on their life and their business.
Oh, yeah.
And so because it's a cycle. So everything impacts the other thing. So
Yes.
clutter impacts your time, it impacts procrastination,
Oh.
it impacts, it just impacts everything. Spiritual clutter, mental clutter,
Yes.
all of that. And so I have found that moving to this model of, in my business is much more effective because we're able to deal with a lot more.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean that makes perfect sense because just like you said, I find that if I'm in a space that's cluttered, just like you said, with time, now I've got to go through. I mean, when I was changing out my wardrobe, it was like I had to dumpster dive every morning to try to find something to wear every evening.
Dumpster dive. Yeah.
In the
I
world, I'm
love
like, I
that.
can't find. And
Yeah.
then, if my jewelry isn't, and I was like, I got one neck, but I got 1,000 necklaces. So
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going through. I'm like, I can't find anything. And just like you said, it is a time killer. And
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm a person who really is a good manager of my time, but I
Right.
find that when things are cluttered, that time management gets compromised. And even
Absolutely.
though it's a good thing that I do put out my clothes the night before, because if I didn't, the mornings would be horrible because I'd be
Yeah.
sitting there having to scramble through everything. And I mean, in the evening,
Absolutely.
it takes me a good minute, to find that second earring if I didn't put my earrings back, or to find that necklace that goes with the earring or the bracelets that go. It's a
Absolutely.
nightmare. So I definitely get it that clutter does that. Even like you said, with your mindset and with
That's
school,
right.
when I was working on my doctorate, being in a space that was cluttered or having a lot of books and papers and everything, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't focus because there was just too many things just out,
Yeah.
besides what was in my head that was cluttered. The physical clutter on
Exactly.
top of that with the mental clutter, just like you said,
Absolutely.
it put me in a space where I was like analysis paralysis. I just froze
That's
up.
right. Yeah,
And so it's
absolutely.
amazing how clutter can affect you psychologically, as
Exactly.
well as just physically. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
it's insane.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I have found, when I'm talking with clients is that, it's not just about what you see, right? It's about what's going on inside. And normally, what you see is a representation of what's going on inside.
Right.
And so, your approach should always be dealing with what's going on inside. And what I mean by that, sometimes people don't realize that there are many things that can impact their ability to get organized, or their, not so much their ability to get organized, but that could impact when they become clutter, when they think all of a sudden I'm starting to see this clutter, right? And so sometimes what happens is when I'm talking to a client, I ask them, well, has there been any type of major events in your life? Like, you know, is there, you know, a divorce, or now you're an empty nester, or you had a career change, you know? So there's all kinds of things. And we as women, you know, we just keep evolving. You know, you know, we go through our 40s, our 50s, and our 60s, you know? And so trust me, the things that were priority to me back in my 40s are not the same.
No.
You know, so it's all, you know, it's like I said, it just all, everything impacts the other, you know, the other thing, you know. So you got to be aware of those things and think about, okay, why am I, you know, why am I all of a sudden seeing this, you know, clutter, or, you know, what am I not dealing with, you know? So
but it's like you said, there's definitely that mental attachment to it, because just like you say, as you do get older, definitely. You know, I found that, you know, you have some people, and I think about, you know, people in my parents' generation, where they kept everything and they had a whole lot of things. And I'm finding that as I'm getting older, that I'm almost getting to a point where I'm starting to feel like a minimalist. I was like, okay, I don't need all this stuff. And I got a whole lot of stuff. And now all of a sudden I'm like, I don't need all of this. Right. And then I think because of technology and some things that are digitized, you know, our parents had, you know, a whole bunch of like photo albums and books that had all these pictures in it. And I can only imagine with all the pictures that I've taken of my children and of my granddaughter. I mean, I could probably fill the room that I'm in full of photo albums. If you know, we were still doing Polaroids, I'd be in a world of you know, I'm like, praise the Lord that they have these little jump drives and little, you know, portable things that you can put those pictures in.
Because the cloud.
Right. That's taking some of the clutter away. I was like, now, if I could just put some of these clothes in the cloud, if I could put some of this jewelry in the cloud, I'd be all right. I need to find the cloud for those.
For that, right?
Then I'm straight. I am straight. Then I'd be in this house and it'd just be four walls and everything would be in the cloud.
But, you know, it's interesting, you know, that you said that, you know, because as we're talking about, you know, the impact of the pandemic, I think a lot of people realized also that they don't need as much stuff as they thought they did, you know? So there was a huge shift in mindset, you know, as a result of it, like, you know. And the other thing, I think also, you know, it's a matter of getting your house in order, you know, your wills, your, you know, all of those type of things, you know, getting those things in order, you know, that, because that whole, nobody saw that coming.
No.
You know, you're right. So, yeah.
You're right. That's like, huge. And you're right. I think that kind of is what started the wheels in motion for a lot of people. Just, you know, all of a sudden losing a loved one. And realizing that, you know, there were all of these things, there was some clutter having to go in, you know, there are so many things that happened. People who have had elderly parents who have gotten sick and who had to move in with them.
Yep.
And having to declutter their space and having to combine your space with a loved one's space, or have someone move in with you unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Even adult children who, you know, because of the financial situations that we're in, have, you know, are not able to leave the nest, or they've left the nest and have found their way back home again. And now you're finding yourself having to be in spaces and making space for those who you thought were long gone.
Yes, absolutely.
So spaces now are looking different. And I think we have to be a little more creative about how we're, you know, how we're
maximizing that space.
So we definitely want to talk a little bit about that, how we go about the first steps. Now definitely, I think, you know, when we talk about needing help or reaching out for help, there's that acknowledgement piece. Being able to, like you said, look around and say, it just really looks like things are going beyond what I can do. And so what happens like when they first come to you? It's just like,
Yeah. So, they're really, most people that come to me, of course they're in overwhelm, right? And so, and they don't know where to start. Those are the most common things. Like, I'm overwhelmed with this. I don't know where to start. And so I always tell people that the first place to start is to declutter. I don't care what it is. And when I, and that may sound, really simple, because we're talking about decluttering, right? But here's the thing, the reason why I'm so adamant about that, because it's not just decluttering and purging, but it's massive decluttering. When one of the things that I tell people about myself is that I'm a recovering, organized pack rat. And so when I would, go to people in person, when I was doing in-person organizing, I did not really understand the importance of really aggressively purging and decluttering. And so because I had those, tendencies within myself, I had to deal with that for me as well. And then I realized that, this is like the most powerful part of organizing, because most people, they want to start organizing. They want to go to the cane container store and get, buckets and, do all of that. These.
Fancy baskets. Oh, and they're so cute nowadays. Absolutely.
So that's the first thing they want to do. And so what happens is when you don't declutter first, you are actually organizing your stuff. And what you need to do is get rid of the stuff and go through it aggressive, massively purging and declutter process, so that you're only dealing with what remains in the
Gotcha.
space.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And
Because it's
so
like
then,
organized, because I think so many of us say organized chaos, you know?
yeah.
I'm guilty as
Yeah.
charged because
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, don't touch anything because
Absolutely.
I know it's in that pile over
You know
there.
it's
And if you move it,
I'll know.
it's going to be a problem. This is my organized chaos. I
Yeah.
know it's in a pile over there. So, at
Right.
least I know where I have a starting point. If you start
Right.
organizing, I'm like, wait a minute now, wait. Now,
Right.
you've messed me up,
Right. Right.
So
And
yeah,
so, yeah. So the thing with me was, I've always been pretty organized, right? But I just always had too much stuff. It was just always too much stuff. So the second thing that I would tell people to do is make sure that they are organizing for the space and not the stuff.
Gotcha.
Because when you organize for the space, your approach is, okay, I have this much space that I'm working with. So whatever fits in this space, is what I have to work with. And I remember one time my husband and I, we were moving, right? And so he said to me, and this was before I even, I was organizing, but I hadn't, that decluttering piece really hadn't kicked in like it was supposed to. So he said, look, we are getting this size truck, and whatever does not fit in this truck is not going. And so that was like the perfect example, of, organizing and decluttering for the space
That makes
and
sense.
not the stuff, not, accommodating for the stuff that you have, because you're going to continue being in overwhelm, right? And so the last thing I tell people to do, it's not the last thing, but just some simple steps that they can take, for the listeners, is to just start small. Just start small. Like most of the time, people will, who come to me, it's like, I just want to get my whole house organized. No, you're going to be in overwhelm, I promise you, right? So let's start with a drawer, right? Or let's start with, if it's an office, let's just start with one of your file cabinet, but one drawer in your file cabinet, or one drawer in your kitchen, or one shelf. Let's start small. And then you start to incorporate and get in the habit
Gotcha.
When you do it over and over and over, you're creating your own personal system,
Yes.
right? And your own approach. And so when you start small and you just duplicate those processes and you apply it to each area that you are organizing or you're decluttering, it becomes a habit. It becomes a part of how you live,
Yeah.
right? And you just continue applying it and it gets easier. Now, I do warn people, it looks ugly before it looks
Right.
better. It
Right.
always is always ugly before it gets, you know, it gets better. But, you know, when you just, you know, follow those three steps, you know, for the most part, you're going to be just fine, you
Yeah.
know, but you got to keep that, you know, in mind. So, yeah.
But I love that you said that. I love that you say start small because that is what happens. We just like, you know, I want to make over the whole entire house. It's too much. It's too much. I think about, whenever I go through my house, and I've been in my house, this year will be 26 years I've been in my house. So I've been in this house a long time. So, I've acquired some things, but what I tend to do annually is, how you put stuff in boxes and then, I didn't go to an extreme because someone was telling me, well, if you have a box and you haven't gone in that box in a year, just go and take the box and throw it out. And I'm like, oh no, I can't do that because, you may have some heirlooms, you may have some things in that box that you want to keep. But at the same time, it's a double-edged sword because sometimes things you go through and then when you start going through the box, you're like, oh, I need this. Oh, you start getting all nostalgic. And then some things you do, you definitely want to keep, they're keepsakes. But then other things you have to say, okay, now seriously. I mean, I had a season where I went through some of my paperwork. I had every pay stub I ever had since I started working back in the early 80s because I was afraid to get rid of them because I was like, it has my social security number on it. Somebody's going to steal my identity. I was like, Kim, nobody's going to go through the garbage, really. People, this is 2023 now, but what I'm saying is, since technology came on the scene, oh, people can steal your identity without going through your garbage.
That's exactly right.
And so, I mean, I got a shredder and I finally, mustered up the strength to go through and start to get rid of it. But I mean, I had boxes of pay stubs from 30, 40 years. I was like, really? Yeah, really? So I had to let those things go. So when you talk about decluttering, I mean, for some people, you have to define what that looks like,
Absolutely.
and not just get to the point where you're so frustrated you're just throwing away everything, but being intentional about, okay, I'm going to say these, but I love that you say organize for the space, because what that makes me think of is, okay, do you have space for all these boxes for all these pay stubs? I didn't, and it was taking up unnecessary space, and when I freed up that space, it left space for me to put other things. So it was like, hello. So you definitely have to be methodical about it. I think about that. That's a perfect example, like you said, about your husband with the truck and saying, hey, whatever can fit in this truck is what's going to fit in this truck. I think about a room in your house. You're not going to put oversized furniture in one of your rooms because it's not going to fit. It's not going to look right. So it's that same concept. So I love
Same
that you say
concept.
that. Organize for the space. Write it down, people. Organize for the space. Okay, and start small. I like that. Start with a drawer, because I find that when you start, decluttering a space, then you find yourself migrating and staying in that space more because you don't want to be in that other space over there where everything is cluttered.
That's
I want to
right.
be over here where everything is looking real good and organized. You tend
And
to migrate.
sparkly,
Right,
yes.
you tend to migrate towards that space, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But there are definitely, I said there are definitely benefits to it. Like you said, psychologically, it definitely helps to open up your mind, or to, when things are not, if those things are not there to distract you, now you have more open space in your mind to say, okay, now I can think about this. I'm not sitting there the whole time while I'm in the office when I was in my office working on my studies, but I'm looking over like, oh my goodness, look at that drawer over there, or look at that cabinet over there, it looks a mess. And then I couldn't focus on what it was that I was focusing on because I was too busy focusing on the clutter.
Absolutely. And that's what I call that visual noise when you're trying to, be in, really trying to get in your zone of genius. But yet, clutter is just still talking to you, like, I'm over here. Don't you want to come over here and organize me? You know, it's just talking to you. And you're so right. And one of the things that recently, when I had some people went through the decluttering challenge, one lady said, "Now I can focus on my business." And she actually launched her business because she had so much clarity. And so, you know, what I tell people is that your clutter is not just costing you mentally, and it is, but it's also costing you in your ideas and your business, which literally can amount to millions. You know, and when you think about that and the cost and the impact that it has on you in terms of your ideas and your business, that ought to all by itself just, you know, encourage you to do something about it, right? Because and like I said, there were like the last challenge, there were at least three people that launched their business, three ladies that launched the business as a result of going through it, because before they couldn't focus. You know,
It is
so
amazing
the
how much of an
ideas
impact.
start flowing. Yeah, you know, ideas start flowing and things like that. And there's none of that visual noise, you know. So
But it's amazing how we sit there and we make excuses for why we can't do something and never look at the actual space that we're in and see how much of an impact that it has. You know, because some people are just like, oh, you know, especially like, you know, if you're an author, if you've written books like that, and you say, oh, you know, I have writer's block. Sometimes it's not just writer's block. Sometimes it's like you said, the environment that you're in.
Yes,
And it's
absolutely.
like, okay, how can I develop? Think about plants. And flowers and things like that, can they grow if there's a bunch of weeds around it? It's not until we take all those weeds out that it begins to flourish and begins to grow, because there aren't things around it choking it out, you
That's
know?
a great point. I love that. Yeah, I
I
never
mean,
thought
I,
about it that way, but yeah, that's a
because I
great
think that's what
analogy.
happens. It's huge. I know that I really cannot function when the space is not, you know, is as clear. I mean, I had mountains, when I say mountains of clothes, you know, that I had to purge. I must have given away 15 contractor bags full of clothes when I lost the weight. And then I was bringing in new clothes, and I wasn't kind of organizing, you know, I just bring them in, and I was, you know, oh, I'll hang it up shortly. And next thing you know, I had a mountain of clothes again. And I was like, okay, so I traded one for the other, but I still wasn't organized and still didn't know what I was wearing and still didn't know what I had, because I had too much stuff. You know, it gets to be too much. But just like you said, when you talk about that space, I'm definitely taking that one with me. Organize for the space. Because like I said, I've been in this house 26 years. I have small closets. I don't have big walk-in closets, so I can't have walk-in closet dreams with all these clothes, because there's no place for them to go. And I say, oh, I'm just going to put them over here. Now I've got to bring in, you know, the little portable closets and all that. And now I'm just making.
You're bringing in more stuff. You're bringing in accommodating for all the stuff.
And all I have to do is accommodate for the
For
space.
the
And
space.
if I was putting the things the way they were supposed to be, I would be like, okay, that's enough. Don't buy anymore. And now I'm in space and overwhelm again. And then and I have to go back through and purge through all of these clothes again. And so I get it. I get it. So I hope some of you, I hope the wheels are spinning with you all too. Saying, okay, what spaces can you think of in your house? And you're just like, oh yeah, because we tend to overbuy, or we tend to bring more in, because we don't have it organized to see what we have. So then we wind up buying duplicates of things and say, oh,
Absolutely.
I had this already and I didn't even realize it, because we just or never made it out of the bag, you know.
Yes,
And then
absolutely.
that's how hoarding begins, and that's how, you know, a hoarder is born, because you have all of these things and then you don't even realize what you have, so you keep on going and buying the same things. So it can cost us, it can affect us financially.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, people, you know, you have two, three. Like I had another client. She didn't realize we were going through her closet, and so she had a pair of boots, right? Then she realized she had bought another pair because she didn't realize that she already had a pair. So she had two pairs of boots, both of which she had not worn.
We all
And
know people who have
so,
those clothes that still have the tag on it. It's like, why?
And that's, that's exactly, she's like, Aldrima, I love clothes, but when you think about it, we only wear 20% of what we own anyway, or use 20% of what we own. It's the 80-20, rule.
Yes.
We just don't, we have, all of us have 80% of the stuff that we have, we don't even use. Now, I'm not a minimalist or anything like that, but I do feel like, on this journey, and it is a journey, by the way, hopefully the listeners know that there's no like, I'm all organized now, so that's it.
Right.
There's going to be another level,
Right.
just as I was saying, earlier. But it's just the fact that our lives change, different things can happen in our lives that's unpredictable, as we're already witnessing,
Yeah.
and so it would really behoove us to stay on that journey,
Yeah.
right? Incorporate new habits so that when we see things, kind of piling up,
Right.
then recognizing that, okay, wait, what's going on here? Because it may not even be something that, spiritual, or anything like that. It may be that it's just not accommodating how you live.
Right.
Because that's the thing we have to keep in mind too, right?
Yeah.
Because, if we have something in a space and then all of a sudden we're trying to readjust how we live, like if something, if I want to give this example and then I'm going to shut up. I like talking
No,
about this.
go on, go on. This
So,
is what this
for
platform is for.
example, if like when we enter into our space, like for example, when my husband and I walk into the space, there's a place where we just, dump our keys, where, well, at first, I didn't have anything there. So
Right.
keys and his wallet, all that was just on the counter, and it was driving me crazy, right? And so finally, I was like, you know what? That is a part of how we live. When we walk into, our space, that's just a habit in terms
Right.
of where we deposit those things. So why not get something to capture our
Right.
keys and the wallet and things like that? And I'm the kind of person I do like containers, as you can
Yeah.
see. So I found one that had a lid because I didn't want to look at the stuff inside
Right,
because I don't want to organize all of that inside, right?
right.
So I found, something, a nice little cute container that had a lid, and so it didn't disrupt our flow.
Gotcha.
That's the point, it didn't disrupt our flow because it's still in the same spot, but it's just more organized
Right.
because it's not stuff just spread it all over the counter,
Right.
So, and that's what I mean by people, a lot of times we don't acknowledge, and adjust to how we actually live. There's so many components and elements to this whole thing, that people don't consider. And I've learned over the years, and that's why I'm saying it's a journey.
It
It's just a journey, toward living and being clutter free. And it takes a commitment too.
is.
You got to be committed to the process. And it can sometimes be very painful. So yeah.
I mean, I love that you said adjust to how you live, because that is important. I mean, I used to have a little hooks. I had like a little mirror and little hooks by the door, to hang our coats, and we'd be able to take one last look before you walk out the door. And then we painted some years ago, and we took it down and never put it back up. And I was just like, you wind up trying to figure out, okay, now where do I want to hook my car? You wind up throwing it over the couch, or you wind up putting it somewhere, and it's just like, okay, now what do we do? And we were in the garage and we found it again. And I was like, well, let's just, polish up and hang it back up again. And now, we have some place for my granddaughter to hang her little coat and her book bag when she comes in. And so again, you're building systems and you're creating good habits, because now you have places for things to go. I think when you don't have that particular space, etched out for something, then it becomes problematic. But after you start losing things because they're not where you typically would put them. You always hear about people saying that, you know, my key is always hanging on that hook right there. And now my key is right there. Where did it go? You were distracted. Something happened, but you know, it's a habit. You know, that's where I normally hang it. So that's where you go first. You know, so it's those kinds of things, you know, especially as I get older, you know, I don't remember anything. Hand is quicker than the eye. So I need for things to go in a certain place. That way my brain says, okay, you know, before I panic, I was like, okay, start with where you normally put it. But if you don't have a normal place and every day you're putting it someplace different, that just adds to the chaos.
That adds to the poor time management.
That adds to my psychological, because now I'm running behind. I'm running late. Can't find what I'm looking for. I don't know where to start. Everything is everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it definitely has a snowball effect.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I love that you say that. I love that we talked about the stuff, you know, to declutter first, to really go through and you know, start purging those things. Because like you said, you're just going to organize the mess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it looks beautiful in those wonderful containers, but it's still a mess. You're still having to dive through those containers and you still haven't quite gotten rid of anything.
That's right.
You know, and I think a lot of, you know, some people have like a little bit of a separation anxiety. I don't want to get rid of anything. I need anything. Like you said, we use 20% of the stuff that we have and the other half, we just have it just to say we have it.
Absolutely.
And then we use it, just in case I need it. Well, you know, it's been 2 years and you haven't touched it.
Yeah.
You know, so when you think about things that where is there a time frame where you can just say, okay, if you have not used it or touched it or has a tag on it and it's been X number of years, days, hours, whatever, then you should consider getting rid of it? Or do you think it's just a...
So I just think it depends. You know, I think it depends because, you know, even as I think about it, there's been times, well, first of all, when it comes to clothes, let me just say that when it comes to clothes, we know that things do come back in style, right? Yes. You know, and now I believe that we're in, you know, a culture and a season where, you know, it's like, you know, people wear certain styles, but you have your own style and it's okay.
Right.
You know, it's okay, you know. So I tell people to give themselves some grace, you know, when they're decluttering, because it is a painful process. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, so I guess to answer your question, it's not a hardcore, just, okay, let's just make sure we get rid of this. I think my thing is more of asking yourself if it's serving you, if it's serving you. You know, if it's clothes or whether, are those clothes serving you? Do you feel good when you wear it? You know, does it, you know, do you have a certain kind of energy? Like, when you wear this suit,
right?
You know, do you feel, you know, powerful? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but so I just think it just depends, you know, on where you are. Now, in your case, like you said, you know, you lost a lot of weight. So you did the right thing. You know, by giving away, you know, what you had, like 10 bags or so, you know, of clothes and stuff. Yeah. And then you begin to, you know, introduce new items, you know, to your wardrobe.
Right.
And so, again, I just think it just depends because some people, you know, it doesn't work on everybody, you know, so you have to think about your own personality. Now, I don't advocate for just keeping stuff if it's like, you know, it's not, again, if it's not serving you, right? And not only should it serve you, but it should serve the space that you're in. So it should, the space should be, you know, whatever you designed it for. Your office space should be for your office stuff and conducting business. Your bedroom should be for resting and it should be a tranquil, you know, relaxing place. You know, the kitchen is for cooking and, you know, preparing meals and maybe, you know, if you have, you know, family gatherings, you know. So every space has a designated purpose.
Yes.
Right. And so it just depends on, you know, how you live. You know, how, you know, what kind of environment you want to cultivate, you know, so it just depends. So that's why, you know, I like to, when I'm working with clients, I want to get to know them and how they live, you know, if they are, you know, people who work a lot, you know, then, that space. Like me, I love my office space. So I am always working to create the environment that
Yes.
I love, the space that I love, because I know that when I walk into this space, I want my desk to be clear and clean
Yes.
when I'm off, right? And then when I come back in, I'm not like, what? Okay, now what was this on here for? You know, I don't
Right.
want to think about that. I want it to be clear so I have a feel like I have a fresh start.
Yes.
So I don't know if I answered your question, but I don't.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's and it, but it is, it's important, like you said, to create systems first, because if you don't, then you're just, you're just creating the cycle with new stuff. You know, so you're decluttering from one thing, and then just adding, just like I was saying with my clothes, because I didn't organize them. Yeah, I bought in new stuff, but I didn't have a system in place, you know, or I wasn't looking at organizing for the space. And so now again, I'm overrun with clothes again. So yeah, even though I traded out the old ones for the new ones, now I've got new stuff and still don't have enough space for it. You know? And so it is important to think about those things first. Think about the space. Think about what you're going to do. So if this happens again, you don't want to fall back into that same cycle again. What do I need to do? Or if I see this happening again, I can say, uh-oh, wait a minute now. I've been here before. Let me stop and say, okay, what I need to do? I need to go back and I need to do some decluttering again, you know, so that way. So it's definitely about having those systems in place, and so that you can have that clarity. I mean, I love that. Those are wonderful, wonderful tips to have, because you want to be able to do that and to adjust to how we live, because it's so much a part of how we live. I think about, you know, all of these public storage places.
Oh my gosh, don't let me tell you. So I have a relative in law. She's got two huge storage units that she's had for nearly 10 years. And I think she has more than that, but she, you know, the home, that's beautiful home. Too much stuff though, right? The storage industry is like a multi-billion dollar industry. And so, and we are, you know, we're just conditioned to, you know, buy more stuff, you know, buy this, we need this. Oh, that sounds good. You know, not thinking about, you know, all the stuff that we're accumulating, you know, over the years and years. When I thought about, when I was doing one of the trainings, I was telling the ladies, I was like, I don't know about you, but if I multiply $150 a month by and 8 years, that's another home. I'm just like, I don't want to, you know, I mean,
It
that's not
blows
something I
my
want to. It
mind,
blows your mind. Yeah,
because it's a
blows your
whole industry. And like you said, I mean, my husband
mind.
has a dear friend. She's had a storage unit since she was in college. Her daughter is almost 30, and in her storage unit, she has her daughter's stroller. Nobody wants a 20-something year old stroller. What are you going to do with it? And so, you know, and then you think back then, some of these places were not climate controlled. And so you can only imagine the mold and all these boxes, all these things that you haven't touched in 20 plus years. What are you doing with all of that stuff? And it's out of sight. So you don't see it. So you don't think about it. But to me, every time the bill came, I would be like, wait a minute now. Why am I still paying for this space?
That's
Sometimes I don't
right.
even know what's in there. I don't even remember what's in there. But people tend to do that. And so, you know, that's when it gets a little scary to me, because I'm like, okay, not only are you not managing the things that are in the space that you can see, you're paying for something that you can't
That's
see.
right. That's right. That's
And
right.
that's concerning. And so I'm like, okay, wait a
That's
minute now.
yet another cost. You know.
So it is so, like I said, it's so important to maximize the space. It's so important to, like you said, start small, to organize for the space, to declutter, to make sure that we're getting rid of some of that visual noise so that we can have clarity of mind. These are all wonderful, wonderful ways in which we can begin to organize and begin to, like you said, have that wonderful clarity so that we can move forward in our businesses, in our lives. So I hope that these tips and tools were definitely something that was beneficial for you all. Now, you said that you did a declutter challenge. That was something that you do every now and then. What does that entail?
So what I do every month, I host a declutter challenge. And if you go to declutterwithdream.com, I've actually recently turned it into a workshop, but it's for 5 days because it's about implementation, right? And so I've done it for, I think this is the 6th month that's coming up now. So it's every month I host a decluttering challenge, but it's more of a workshop and an implementation. And it's only $17. And so the reason that I did that was because a lot of times, people who you have to have something vested in, in terms of your outcome and your results. And so I was hosting it for free and I just changed it, because you're going to be implementing it and you're going to get the training, as a result of it. And then you can keep the training and you can just go through, because what I do is I take people through a 5-step process. And so each day we go through one each of the steps. And so this is actually more for female entrepreneurs, but it doesn't matter what space that you want to declutter. So yeah. So declutterwithdream.com, will take them to the event if they want to register. And so yeah, so I do that every month. Now the other thing, if I may say, I do have a free Facebook group where I also and sharing tips and things like that. So the Facebook group is free. The decluttering challenge. Now, the Facebook group, let me say this too, is where I'll be doing like mini challenges, like little mini micro challenges, so just to keep people involved and keep you moving in the decluttering process. Because the moment you stop, it's just keep piling up. So thank you for asking.
Awesome. Now what the Facebook one is what is the name of that one?
So it's I just changed the name. Hang on. It is Journey. Hang on. Give me one second. Let me bring it
No,
up.
that's perfectly
I forgot the name of my, okay.
fine.
Journey to Clutter-Free Living is the name of the Facebook group. And so I would love, for anyone who's interested, like I said, the Facebook group is free and you can come in, ask questions, get it's a very supportive community where you can, like if you have a question or like, well, I was thinking about doing this, what do y'all think? That kind of thing. It's very, very supportive. I share tips, in terms of how you can continue decluttering, things like that. So yeah, so join, yeah. So those are the two ways, yeah.
Okay, so remember, all right, so if you are interested in that declutter challenge, you have to go to www.declutterwithdream.com. Okay, or you can, and that's $17 if you want to do the decluttering challenge. And she does that once a month. And then she has a Facebook page called Journey to Clutter Free
Clutter-free
Living.
living.
Yes, you can go on there and get the support that you need, as you're going through this decluttering process. Like she said, it's a journey. And so we know that, as we're going through the process, we can always use a little help along the way. And so, make sure that you subscribe there or like, and be able to follow Aldrima and the things that she is doing to help you to live a more clutter-free life. So since we've done the part of telling people how they can get in contact with you, let's ask you, how are you living in this now? That's always a question that I ask my guests. How are you living in this now, in this space that we're in?
So I feel like the way that I can be successful in my own clutter journey is to surround myself with like-minded people, right? And so I make sure that, excuse me, so I make sure that I am surrounding myself around people who are supportive, who are on perhaps the same journey, you know, as I am. And not only that, but being around people who empower me, you know, keep me accountable. You know, this clutter-free journey helps me to even stay accountable in my own life because I got my own challenges. That's and right. You know, so that's how I'm, you know, I'm doing it by making sure that I'm being true and authentic to who I am in this journey and being surrounded by people who, you know, who are very supportive, holding me up and holding me accountable, you know, as well. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, how I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's how you're living in this now. And that's wonderful. You know, like you say, we want to be around people who empowered us and you who empower us, because they say, you know, you don't always want to be the smartest person in the room.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to be crabs in a barrel where everybody's pulling you back down. You want people who are going to lift you up, who are going to encourage you and, you know, support you in the things that you're doing, so that you, not, you said you're prompted to want to do better and to be more and to do more because you have people cheering you on.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. That is how you are living in the now. So are there any other things that you want to leave with our listeners before we go? Any words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with them, or some thoughts about decluttering that they can take with them as they go?
Absolutely. So I think the one thing that always, when I'm working with people, is that we don't celebrate the accomplishments. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate, you know, we focus on what we haven't done rather than what we are accomplishing.
Right.
And so as you are going through your own decluttering journey or whatever that journey is, make sure that you take time to celebrate the accomplishments, because when you stay in that space, mm-hmm. it really helps you to keep up the momentum.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's something that I've really, really learned to celebrate even the small things. You know, I'm one that loves chocolate, and honey, let me tell you, I celebrate the small accomplishments with some chocolate. Okay.
Okay. Look, it works. Okay. And in my case, it's that dark chocolate. It's okay.
Yes, dark chocolate. Oh yeah.
Hey,
oh,
what happened? You know. Okay. What's the little company? I think it's. I don't know if it's Lindor. I can't remember the name. That has just a little square. So it just all the little packages. Just one little.
Oh
square.
Yeah.
I cannot remember the name of it.
Yeah, there's so many. It may be Dove. Right. It may be Godiva. It may
That's
be
it.
Mint. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Those little tiny squares that they give you are perfect because it's just enough.
Oh my gosh, just
because you know I need the whole bar if I could.
Yes.
that one little square is just enough. So like you said, it's the little things, you know. And I just pop one of those in, give them a little 45 calories in. Hello. So we have to treat ourselves. And I love that you say that, because it is so important that we celebrate the small accomplishments that we make.
Yeah.
You know, because it's those small things that lead to big things. You know, and before we know it, we're one step closer to where we want to be. We're a better version of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Aljima, thank you so much for being us today, for giving us these wonderful tips on how we can go about decluttering and organizing ourselves. And I'd like to let you know that you are always welcome back to the show. You are, you know, a part of the How Now family, and you never have someone who just comes one time. You're always welcome back, because what's happening right now may not be what's happening 2 weeks, 2 hours, 2 years, 2 days from now. So know that you're always welcome back. And again, thank you for taking time out for being with us. Okay.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Okay. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.